time to stop buying
land. The power is going to restore 15 to 20 million jobs.
What about me?
I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as you know, our signals serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And you can listen from anywhere simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Or you can listen anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at your choice. And I'm very grateful to the people who do listen in and let me know that they tune in and offer me their ideas and what they feel should be added to this and that. And I want you to know I do add your suggestions to my weekly commentaries. And maybe I should take a moment now to say thank you to the radio stations that are offering my weekly commentary during their broadcasts. It really helps to get people more involved in the movement, more people looking at labels, more people talking with each other is how are we going to make changes in America? And if you are near your phone or you can text someone or however you make contact, let them know that they can tune into our broadcast right now and you'll really have a very interesting broadcast today. Also, I want to say a special thank you to Mark Andel, who, as you know, is the founder of the Made in America store. And on May the 20th, Mark is going to be marking his 13th anniversary. And he said he's got 13,000 products over there. So maybe each thousand goes up with the anniversary of the store. Also, thanks to Larkin Conley, a national small business advocate, who is always there to give opinions, and we're going to ask for his opinions today. I'm going to do a little reporting, which I'll mention in a moment. Rich Logis is still on his special assignment, and we have greetings from him. And also joining us from time to time is Bruce Bassett Powell, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Ladies and gentlemen, these have certainly been very interesting days. And we're going to hear from a few special guests today during the broadcast. As you know, we continue to promote major changes in America, and more people in leadership and political candidates are promoting our message as they campaign. And I'm really pleased to say that because it's good to hear our own suggestions and words being repeated at campaign rallies and all. It's been going on for a while, but first I want to turn to our panel members and talk to them a few minutes. And I just want to mention before we get into all the things that we prepare today, a stable job for working age and able-bodied Americans has always been the key to our success here in the United States of America. As we lost our jobs, we really lost our shirts, so to speak, and foreign countries are now eating our lunch as we buy from them what was exactly the reverse for 200 years. We shipped products around the world, and now we are importing 70, 80, 90% of products to America, and it's a reverse process, and it should never have been allowed to happen. Private sector businesses just felt, well, we can make more profit and reduce operational costs, labor costs, and also taxes. So they decided to take the suggestions of those foreign merchandisers, and we're hearing more and more about the foreign merchandisers now being disappointed because a lot of people want to come back and be here in the United States of America. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's good to hear that the politicians are speaking up because if they don't speak up, they get access to the news media and all. If they don't speak up, then it makes it pretty tough for us to just keep beating the drum through our sources, but as the politicians get up to par, it's becoming much more of an interesting race. And by the way, I want to also say that people are speaking up very much, and you will hear that from the candidates about the schools receiving directives to restore the trade programs and all new technology programs in their schools. That's something that hasn't gone on for 20, 25 years. Now it's starting to come to be a bigger and bigger thing. And that's something all of us can be very proud to hear and see, and look for major changes to happen in the future. Our broadcast is also telling people to let their elected officials know, their school boards know, that public schools are supported by America's taxpayers, and they really should be responsible for millions of high school graduates each year who are qualified to enter America's workforce with some level of skill, not just a diploma, but also a skill of accomplishment. And I'm talking about that more and more because you're going to hear it with our two guests today. Two of them are running for mayor. We did offer everybody the opportunity. Some will come on just for a small period of time. But these guests came to our station and worked with me. We did a beautiful interview. I can't play the whole interview, but I'll play some excerpts of it today. But first, I want to hear from our panel members to see what's happening with them. Mark, first of all, how are you doing? You getting ready for that big 13th anniversary?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? I think Lark is on. Bruce Henry's always making us sound good. He's got to help us look good, too, but we'll work on that later, Mike. But great. Yeah, our 13-year anniversary is coming up next weekend, the 20th, which is also Armed Forces Day. We got a big day. You know, Ricky Lee's in town, and we got Chevettas and barbecues and food and vendors. We're over 20 vendors, and we do a showcase on our vendors from Chanelocke Yingling, book signings. Really a nice day, and it's free family fun to show people what Americans are making and, you know, allow them to do their part. So very excited. We might have some Purple Heart recipients, about 30 of them, show up for our Buffalo Niagara Honor Flight. They're going to be going on a flight in June, overnight stay to see their memorial. So, you know, always doing what we can. We love America. All lives matter. You know, Mike, we believe, right? So, you know, going good there. We got two open houses at General Welding at my plant in Buffalo and plant in Rochester. We're doing this Friday and next Friday. Always trying to stir it up, say thank you to our customers, and give some exposure to what we do, and hopefully keep the jobs coming in. And I want to talk about that a little bit, Mike. We talk every week. Inflation's all-time high. Disposable income, all-time low. It's just a fact. You know, very tough on businesses. Larkin's been in the game a long time. I know Bruce is helping with SCORE. Very, very hard with the expenses. The question is, can you pay the expenses? The 30% high electric bill, gas bills, employee wages up, and charge enough over your counter or to your customer to actually cover the expenses and make a dollar. That is a huge question, Mike. I'm not sure if it can be done with this lack of leadership. I watched the news last night a little bit. America's in trouble. You know, I love America, Mike. I believe, you know, in God we trust, period. But America's in trouble. You know, just watching last night, they want to raise the debt ceiling, but they want to, you know, also control some of the spending. That makes sense. But, you know, and then you got thousands and hundreds of thousands of people coming into the country. Just tough shape. You know, common sense is gone. Somebody better start leading.
Well, you know, you're right. And, you know, Mark, I was going to mention that today. I mean, we're talking about raising the debt ceiling, but we don't really know what type of programs they're really, you know, going to suffer if they have to close down a few things. We know a few suggestions that were made, but wait a minute. Just 5 weeks ago, we were told we were going to go bankrupt on June the 1st. What kind of nonsense?
Yeah, we're 90 days in, Mike, trying to negotiate. They can't even sit and talk. It's pathetic, but common sense, it's scary, you know, because they're going to wait to the last days. A lot of people are going to suffer. This economy has never been. I had very, very good years with Donald Trump running the country. I'm not afraid to say that. It's a fact. My industries were doing wonderful. Military work, oil mining. We had cash flow. People were spending. Disposable income up. A lot of good things. I don't know what was wrong with the wall. I don't know what now. It's so political. We need leadership and fast. Somebody's got to take ownership of what's going on, Mike.
Well, you'll hear during the interviews today a little bit of it, and you'll be able to hear the entire interview on the front page of American Workers Radio, hopefully by tomorrow. But I have to tell you, everybody is now beginning to say, what is going on? We are giving more money out for welfare-type programs and not for job training programs. I don't understand that. Do you train somebody to be a good skilled worker or train them to know more about welfare programs? I don't understand it.
Yeah, with disposable income, Mike, I mean, you know, Burger King meals are $16, $17. I asked my daughter's going to college and working for me. She's 20. It's hard for between fuel and having a drive-through meal. There's a lot of money going out. Not even to talk if you want to try to have an apartment and live on your own without a partner. Very, very tough times. It's a brutal fact. Both sides are starting to really admit it. Who likes what's going on? Who could like what's going on with this economy right now?
Well, there's going to be so much discussed in the news media today.
This was a brutal fact, Mike.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be brutal. And I myself feel that those cuts have to be made in Washington, and we have to know exactly what are we paying for. I mean, most of the schooling is done through the state and the city level. But what are we paying for with a lot of the other stuff that money is given down to the states? Look at all the COVID dollars that have been sent to the states, and many of the organizations that should have been helped are not being helped.
Mike, and God bless Ukraine. They're in my prayer every night, but $90 billion more. Our businesses are failing and struggling. Again, if you didn't have PPP number one, PPP number two, the SBA EIDL loan, the Payroll Retention Credit Act, we'd be in a disaster of disasters.
You're right. Can I go to Larkin Connolly? Larkin, how are you? We missed you last week. You were on the road.
I was on the road. I was in New York City. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, everybody. I was on the road. I was in the Greenpoint section of Brooklyn, New York. I was in the city of New York. I got there on Wednesday to see my son and my grandson, both of whom with his wife are moving to England. So I went up there. This was kind of a farewell trip for my wife and I. To our son, he's moving to England, and his comment to me was he might be getting out of the United States just in time, which I couldn't, it's pretty hard to argue with that kind of thinking. I don't go anywhere that I don't talk about politics. What I found up in New York to be kind of relatively disturbing is that as we discussed the problems we had, and I tried to invoke some element of change to fix these problems, the argument in opposition to what I have to say always goes back to, well, Donald Trump hasn't been president for over 2 years. At what point are we going to stop, blaming somebody who hasn't been president? It's just amazing. I unfortunately agree with Mark. I think we're in big, big trouble.
Oh, yes.
And I think nothing has been said about Russia and China getting together and creating a world currency that would replace the American dollar. And the day that the American dollar is not the currency of the world, we got huge problems.
Very big problems.
Huge problems.
Oh, yes.
And nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about It's just not an issue that's, and I'd be afraid. I would actually be afraid to ask our current president what he thinks about this situation, because I don't think he has the vaguest idea. I really don't, and I think it's a competency issue. It's not a party issue with me. Listen, I believe in personal responsibility. I believe in limited government. I believe in free markets. I believe in the rule of law. I believe in strong family values and respectful disclosure, whether I'm talking with somebody that agrees with me or not. And unfortunately, almost none of those exist today. It's really, really sad.
Larkin, I'm going to go to Bruce for a minute, and then I am going to come back and mention something about this special, which I need your opinions on. Bruce, how did you enjoy the coronation?
Oh, I enjoyed it very much. I was very proud of our armed services.
Well, you know, everybody needs a little bit of that pomp and circumstance. They loved it. The people told me who watched, they love the pomp and circumstance. And this is what we're missing, a lot of that in this great country and this great world of ours.
Well, you know, when I was 6 years old, I went to Queen Elizabeth's coronation. I don't remember much about it, but I did go. So I had to watch Charles's coronation on the on television, but that was fine. Yeah, it was a great day. Lots of rain, so that was typically British.
That's okay. Well, hey, it was a beautiful event, and that's what everybody told me. And I was very pleased to hear that people liked it, because they said this is what we need, that kind of happiness in this great country.
Yeah.
Bruce, I'm going to come to you after I play a little bit of a interview that I've done with some of the candidates for mayor of Philadelphia. This Tuesday, May the 16th, we are having Election Day in the state of Pennsylvania. And in the city of Philadelphia, we are having a mayor's election. And there are eight candidates running for mayor. And of course, they were all invited to participate. But these two particular gentlemen are known to us very well. They responded very quickly, and they both happen to share Polish heritage, so we had to take them first. So there are a total of eight candidates for mayor, and I want to just go to this few-minute interview that I had, beginning with Jeff Brown. Sit back, relax, and enjoy, and I'll be back to you for comments. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. I just wanted to let you know that as part of what we have been doing here on American Workers Radio, we've been asking people to let us know what they would like to see with the next mayor of Philadelphia. Well, I'm pleased to say that I have a very distinguished person here. You've seen his signs on the roadways if you live in Philadelphia. You've seen his advertisements no matter where our Philadelphia channels go. And you've also heard all about his working reputation. But first, I'm going to ask our distinguished guest, Jeff Brown, who is the candidate for the 100th mayor of Philadelphia, to tell us a little bit about himself. Jeff.
Hi, thanks for having me today. My family were immigrants. My grandfather came from Poland, and on one side. On the other side, Russian descent. And some Hungarian descent, and they came to America, like a lot of immigrants come to America to escape a war and bad treatment and to look for opportunity. And when my family got here, they didn't speak English good, they couldn't get a good job, and they ended up opening a small grocery store. That's how we started in groceries. It was four generations ago to me, but five generations ago because of my son Josh is the fifth generation in our grocery business. All different businesses, but the family has a trade. And our trade's different. We don't go to the place that we think we can make the most money. We go to the place that we think needs us the most. And so we've specialized in going to communities that other grocers didn't want to go to. And the work is commonly called food desert work today, because it's a desert of healthy, affordable food. And we went there, and I like to hear about people's heritage and culture, their religion, their what they eat, how they celebrate. And we build a customized supermarket in every place that we go. And I started 35 years ago in business for myself. I brought ShopRite. There was one ShopRite, small, but I brought ShopRite to Philadelphia in a big way. And each store is a little bit different because we listen. And, you know, I ask questions, and then I build a store for the community, whatever it is that they need. Yeah. And when I started doing this, people told me we appreciate if the jobs would be for people in our community. And then later they added to that, could you help people that have been formerly incarcerated, you know, find employment and figure out a way out of that cycle of going back to jail, and also the disabled. And later we started getting into helping small businesses too, because I think small businesses are what drives our country.
Absolutely. And I will tell you this, that we started 11 years ago a program called National Small Business Weekend, the first weekend of every month, and we've done many, many specialty programs throughout the years, and we're seeing more and more people want to hear and see what we're doing to bring jobs back to America and make our cities a better place to do business.
The way I see it, and again, we have family experience with this, but a lot of people, most people in this country immigrated here. There weren't a lot of people that naturally lived here. And our system of government, of a free enterprise system, created an environment where someone could come here with nothing and start a business and become successful. And what's important about that system, it not only helped the small business people or entrepreneurs, but often they would hire people from their neighborhoods. And that's how we lift people out of poverty. And that's what we should be focused on. What, how do we help people succeed? That's what would make a city a great city. And I think we're a little off track here in Philadelphia, and we have changes to make because we have too many people that live in poverty, and partly because we're a tough place to do business. We're a tough place to start a business. And I think we created our own impoverished situation because we stopped the mechanisms that made this country great.
Very, very well said. Jeff, I have a few questions that I have on the screen here from viewers and listeners. Today we want to focus some of our questions on what would you do as the 100th mayor of Philadelphia to get the Philadelphia business environment really moving along?
Yeah, so I've been here in business for myself for 35 years. And I always had the sense that the government never wanted me. And there's the funny thing. I'm in a business that no one wants to do but me. Very few grocers want to go in impoverished areas and open grocery stores. And yet, I was treated pretty bad the whole time, disinterested. Matter of fact, when we were opening our first food desert store, Philadelphia Gas didn't want to turn my gas on. I could give you a long list of... when I called them up and I said, we're about to end our first food desert in the country, and we're so excited, can you turn our gas on? They said, call us back in 3 months. And I'm like, hold it a second. The food will be bad in 3 months. You know, the store is fully stocked. And that's the kind of experience you have as a business, disinterest. Disinterest and complicated systems. I think we need a process improvement. I'd like to have someone in charge at a senior level position for process improvement and technology. And we should benchmark ourselves to other cities, and we should set a goal to be the easiest city in the country to start a new business.
That, you know, you just answered one of the questions that people have been sending us. And they say, Michael, can you ask the candidates what they would do to turn this whole situation around? You know, for 200 years, America was the place to manufacture and to sell around the world. Right here along the Delaware River, we had ships, dozens of ships going out of our port to foreign countries, bringing them supplies. Today, that's not the case. We're bringing in all sorts of products from around the world while Philadelphians could use those jobs. And not only Philadelphians, people throughout our entire tri-state area, and in fact, the whole country could use those jobs, and we need to change this thing around. Everyone is telling me the mayor has to be the main cheerleader of all this going on. You know, mayors in the past have done good jobs working with the people, but now with modern technology and everything that's happening to our country, we really need to really turn the page and start doing a lot of positive things. How would you go about making the first changes during the first days of your administration?
So I think the first thing you do is you have to explain to the citizens, to the businesses, what's our vision for our success in the future. And unless you have a goal or a vision, you're not going to get there, because we don't even know what we're trying to do. And I have no idea what we're trying to do here in Philadelphia. No one has ever communicated a single thing to me. And in the process of designing our vision, I think we should be smart and take a look at our inherent advantages. We have lots of advantages. We have some disadvantages, too. And clearly, there are certain industries that we should be global leaders in. I'm going to give you an example. Because we are the most dense concentration of universities and colleges in the world. People think it's Boston. It's not Boston. It's right here, the Philadelphia area. We have lots of brilliant scientists that are here that invent things, engineers, scientists. And, you know, we are the birthplace of a lot of biotech and gene therapy technology. Matter of fact, the technology that went into the COVID vaccine was invented right here in Philadelphia. And here's where we went wrong. So we have all this innovative capacity, but no one said to those industries, we'd like to help you manufacture and distribute those products right here in Philadelphia, because those jobs would help people out of poverty. You don't need a college degree for those jobs. We could train you for those jobs. And we should go to all of the firms that are in that business and say, this is what we can bring to bear as far as economic incentives and financing, potentially equity investing, job training, you know, because we want you to vertically integrate and we want all those jobs. Because this is why. Philadelphia is in close proximity to 75% of the U.S. population. That gives us an inherent advantage. So with that, some people will say, our taxes are high. Our taxes are high. But let me show you how much I could save you on energy, because you're closer to the population. And I think some companies, besides, you know, you talked about attracting business through the personality of the mayor. It should start out with, we should be welcoming. I don't have any problem giving any prospective business opportunity for our city, giving the CEOs a big bear hug and a tour of the city, and letting me sell them on why I think this is the right place for them and how we will help them and be there with them. If they have a problem, we will take their problem and we will address it. And I don't think that exists today. And to a CEO thinking about where they want to place their operations, that'll be the difference, if you feel welcome. Right now, we're not welcoming.
Very well said. And I will tell you, we heard a lot of the issues of what's taking place here in Philadelphia and America, and especially in Philadelphia, during the debates for the mayor's candidates. However, there are a lot of things that distract businesses from coming here. For the last 30, 35 years, foreign merchandisers and investors have been attracting businesses out of our big cities and our country. We're now looking at, in some cases, 50, 60, 70, or 80% of the items that we use on a regular basis coming from foreign countries. There's no reason that it can't once again be born here in Philadelphia with the leadership of a mayor who wants to move forward and make sure that the city is really the place to do business. Everybody is telling me that, you know, that we have to talk about making Philadelphia the best place to do business. And I said, that should be an obligation of the next mayor, to go into the communities. People send things in and they say, we'd like to see the mayor at more community meetings, business meetings. How can we get more businesses back in the city? During COVID, we lost a lot of businesses and we haven't been able to replace them. So how do we bring those businesses back? Taxes are always something that frightens people. And now with inflation going up so high, we are again suffering another blow by having manufacturers from overseas say, No, no, you won't be able to go through all the inflation in America. Bring it over to us. We will make it, ship it back to you, put it on your shelves. We can't do that anymore. It has to be leadership from the mayor to the governor to the president of the United States all getting together and saying, we have to change America's way. But now this is a major opportunity for all individuals to know that the mayoral candidates want this to happen. If you were in office and you were being sworn into office, what would your first job be to help bring businesses back to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think it starts out with, and citizens hear a lot, and you need the citizens behind you. And if you want the citizens behind you, you have to explain to them what you're trying to accomplish. And so what I hear some of the other candidates say is they're telling the citizens, we can make your life better by regulating businesses more or taxing businesses more and taxing you less. And no one has pushed back to say that that's actually how you stay in poverty.
That's right.
Because if you chase away the businesses and there's no jobs, we're going to have a race to the bottom like you saw in Detroit and they went bankrupt. And we're headed right for that. And it isn't that the people don't matter to me. The people matter a great deal. And I've explained this in some of the debates to one of the other opponents that's like more socialistic, that her approach will lead to massive poverty of everyone. Because if you chase away all the jobs and there's no jobs and everyone will be on government assistance and, you know, that's not very much money. And there's no future in that. And so I think you start out by telling the citizens, I know you think you want this, but this ends up not the way it sounds. It ends up bad. And, you know, I'm a unionized employer who cooperated to unionize my own business. And this is the interesting conversations we have across the bargaining table, because we're interested in the business growing, because that's jobs and hours and pay. And we're also interested in good treatment of the workers. And that's a balancing act. And what I try to explain in a number of the debates we have, if you're way too lopsided, you kill the golden goose. And that's what we've been doing.
I can't agree more. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that brief. There is more to it, and we will post it up on the front page of American Workers Radio. That is Jeff Brown. He's a candidate for mayor of Philadelphia, and I'm encouraging everybody to go out and vote for the candidates of their choice this coming Tuesday, the 16th. I'd like to turn to our panel members to give me some thoughts on what they felt Jeff Brown had to say. Let's go to Larkin. Larkin, what'd you think? You're from Philadelphia. You know the situation.
Michael, I was involved in politics very heavily in Philadelphia, and I'm very proud to count amongst my friends David O, who is running, and I was on his campaign staff for a couple times, and just a great guy. On the other hand, I know Mr. Brown. I've had the pleasure of working with him before. He has a market all the way out at the end of Broad Street, and I forget the neighborhood out there. He has a big supermarket in one of those deserts, and at Score, we selected his shop. He fed us. He couldn't possibly have been a nicer guy. We had what was a very, very nice meeting with the small businesses out there and people who wanted to start small businesses, as we do at Score. So I like what he said about unions. I'm pleased to hear he's a union shop, unions have a place. It's just that when the unions think they're more important than their members, when the unions think they're more important than the policies they're trying to control, the unions aren't so good. And I would use the IBEW as an example. I'm not afraid to say it out loud, and I'm not afraid of the guy that muscles that union all over the city of Philadelphia. They'll have to come to Florida to get me. I don't care. I watched what he did to that city from a business viewpoint, and if people are proud of that, then shame on them. But at any rate, I'm glad to hear Mr. Brown's running. I would not, while I'll probably throw my hat for whatever it's worth, because I don't have a vote. I don't live in Philadelphia anymore. To David O's.
Well, he's on another party. We're going to have him. After this primary is over, he's the Republican side. That's only one person running. The other eight candidates are on the Democratic side. So we'll know by next Wednesday who's going to be going up against David O. And I already spoke to David. We will have some get-togethers, and everybody's looking for these kinds of interviews, which I do for, you know, for TV and for and things like that.
Yeah.
Let me ask Mark, what did you feel about what Jeff Brown had to say?
Yeah, Mike, I like how Mr. Brown sounds. I love that he has business, because to me, you need a non-selfish business smart leader, period. You know, Larkin used to always say, if you haven't had a payroll and had to wake up with it on a Monday morning, you haven't done much. Well, Larkin, that's my life, right? You know, right. So, yeah, Mr. Brown sounds good. He knows what he's doing. He's going to listen to the people and try to welcome them to the city, is what it sounds, and then explain to them, give them the why, you know, because everybody should give a why. Why should they be there? And I love that he understands that business is the fabric of not only Philadelphia, but America. If you take out the business, you have nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very glad to hear more and more of the candidates speaking up. Not all of them, but most of them are now coming around to our way of thinking. I'd let Bruce, what did you think of Jeff Brown?
I thought he said some great things. You know, I lived in Philadelphia area in Paoli for 20 years, so I'm very familiar with it, and I think he's got some ideas that would do well. We spent a lot of time in the city itself. I don't live there anymore. I live in Texas, which is a whole new challenge. But
well, you know what? Anyway. The point of me doing this today is because we do all these kinds of things, but we don't put them on the radio normally. But I did this because this is something, what's happening in Philadelphia could be something that should be happening in all other cities and states. Looking to get the boys and girls back into specialty programs, end all the difficulties, make people feel better about themselves. I'm going to turn now for a 10-minute hit with our mayor candidate, Alan Dom. We are having a special guest because we are going out on May the 16th to vote for the 100th mayor of the city of Philadelphia. And I have one of the candidates for mayor, a person who's been here before, who knows our community very well. And he's been here, and I'm going to ask Alan Dom. I should call him Candidate Dom through this interview, but I'll call him Alan. We know each other for a long time. He has been on American Workers Radio before, and we're happy to have him back, and we're going to ask him. Alan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, Michael, and thanks for having me here. And I just want to thank you for everything you do for Philadelphia and the community. You know, at every event I'm at, you're there. You're like the action news van. You are everywhere, okay?
We try very hard.
And you're doing a great job at it, so I just wanted to thank you for that. Whether it's the Veterans Day parades or any of the parades, you're always there. You're always at every function.
We try very hard to keep the people together. That's what it's all about.
You're actually at more functions than our mayor, okay? I'm telling you. I mean, you're doing a great job. So listen, I grew up pretty modestly, like maybe many of the people who are listening to this radio show today. You know, I grew up at age 5. I was outside at 5:30 in the morning with my brother till 7:30, shining shoes for 25 cents a shine. At 11 years old, I had 2 paper routes. People don't know what a paper route is today, but I had one at 5:30 in the morning, one at 3:30 in the afternoon. Always worked, and I went to public school. I was a wrestler in high school from 9th to 12th grade. Wrestling practice was pretty severe, let's say. It was very, very demanding. And after wrestling practice at 6 o'clock at night, I would work. In fact, freshman year, 9th grade, I was pumping gas from 6:30 to 9 at night. And sophomore year, after a wrestling practice, I was a janitor in an office building from 6:30 to 10:30 at night, back then I was getting paid, Michael, $1.60 an hour.
Whoa, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. I did that for a while, and then I got a promotion to Howard Johnson's, where I was a dishwasher for $1.65 an hour. Anyway, I went to school at night, worked full-time during the day for a time lock company, making $5,000 a year. Came to Philadelphia in 76. I knew no one here, but came here as the manager of a time lock company. I was 21 years old. And look, put my head down, worked hard, opened my own business from scratch, real estate business. Worked really hard, employed a lot of people, got people good paying jobs, and decided to run for council back in 15. First, I was going to run for mayor, actually. And I sat down with a political expert who said to me, Alan, you know zero about city government. You know a lot about private sector and business, but you know zero. You look, you built your business from scratch. God bless you. But government's different.
It was a good advisor.
It was a very good advisor. And you know what he said to me, Michael? He said to me, you want to be a heart surgeon, but you've never done any surgeries or even gone to medical school. If you want to become mayor, go into council and learn. Great advice. I did it for almost two terms. I learned a lot, and it is a lot different than the private sector.
Oh, absolutely. And Alan, I want to tell you, because many of our listeners are from the Polish-American community, that his grandfather also lived and immigrated to America from Poland. So we're happy to have you as sort of a landsman here.
Yeah, actually, my grandfather came here, Michael, in 1916, came from Warsaw. And unfortunately, his 11 siblings, brothers and sisters, their kids, his parents didn't make it. They were killed in the concentration camps.
Yeah.
Thank God he made it.
Thank God. Well, see, he brought his goodness to America, and he also made you come about and be the great person that you are today.
But I'll say something else, though, Michael, that I'm a big believer. I bet my parents were probably similar to your parents. They grew up in the Depression, and they had Depression Age mentality, I call it. Like, I would drink out of these glasses. I finally asked my mother at 16 years old, Mom, where are you getting these glasses with these ridges around? They're really fancy. She said, they're Hellman's mayonnaise jars, recycled. Or like, we still did it till 2 or 3 years ago when my mother was alive. We would wash plastic utensils and reuse them. That's how I was brought up. We reused tinfoil 25 times until it ripped, but you didn't throw anything away.
Well, see, Alan, this is we are living now in a throwaway society, and that really has to stop. I mean, in the last 30 years, you and I have seen very well what has happened. Now, during recent debates, and you've been at all of them, you've seen the number of issues that were addressed, and they were very, very important issues. Our concerns with American Workers Radio and the communities that we work with is the next mayor doing something special to bring about a better business environment in the city of Philadelphia, and also do something to get everybody involved working again, getting the school boards to promote all the trade programs and do things that will make people feel great about themselves and make people also add to their own personal well-being and also add to the economy of Philadelphia. If this was the first day of your administration, how would you like to see that move along?
Well, let me share with you some of my thoughts on that topic. Look, I think this is a turning point election. This is similar to 1991 or 1979 when Mayor Green became mayor in 1980. It's a turning point election. And the most important quality here is we have all these crises. We have a public safety crisis, affordable housing crisis, good-paying jobs crisis, and we have an education and a poverty crisis. The biggest crisis is a crisis of leadership. Strong leadership can solve these issues. When you have strong leadership in government, cities and states are successful. In business, they're successful. Churches, nonprofits, eds and meds, strong leadership, successful. Our biggest issue is strong leadership because we can solve issues when we have the right leadership. And look, public safety is the number one issue for the city. We have to get that under control. But a lot of that is education issues, okay? People are committing crimes in many cases because they're in poverty, don't have a good paying job. That's some of it. There's also some that are really dangerous that we need to take off the street that are not making it livable for the rest of the city. And I've talked to past police commissioners about this, and they said to me, every city has similar issues, small amount of people committing the majority of the crime.
Yes.
In fact, in Center City last year, retail theft, 70% of the retail theft was committed by less than 30 people.
Think unbelievable.
Right? Same people.
Now, you know yourself that employment opportunities and skills, people that wrote in suggestions about what we should speak about is they were talking about what are we going to do to get those skilled trades back
right.
in our schools. That's a very big issue.
So here's the answer, really. Crime in some cases, many cases, is the symptom of the lack of a good paying job, poor education, and being in poverty. Education is the cure. What I'm going to talk about, if we had done 15 years ago, if we had implemented it 15 years ago, we would have a different city today. And what I'm going to talk about should not just be done in Philadelphia. It should be done across the country.
Absolutely.
We should be teaching in our schools from K through 12 financial literacy, home ownership, technology, and entrepreneurship. Not just how to make a living, but how to create wealth. Entrepreneurship. We should allow kids in high school to go to school 4 days a week, and on the fifth day, work in a job, get credit, get paid. They'll get a summer job. And in this labor market, Michael, the employer will say, hey, Alan, I know you're working Monday. Can you come in Tuesday through Friday, 3:30 to 6? I need you. We have a labor shortage. And how about coming in Saturday, 9 to 5? Now I'll graduate high school with four different job experiences out in the public sector. But more importantly, there's a school that does this. This isn't new. Cristo Rey High School at 17th and Allegheny.
Yes.
Allows their students to go to school 4 days a week, work one day a week in a job. Last year, Michael, they graduated 99% of their kids, and 100% were admitted to college.
Well, this is what the people in Philadelphia and across the nation need to hear. We have to restore more Cristo Rey type.
Right. And let me talk to your issue, though, which is very important. I know it's important to our listeners. We need to look at our high schools almost the way the Philadelphia Phillies look at their minor league teams. The Phillies have three minor league teams. Think about it. Triple-A ball, double-A, and single-A. Why do they have minor league teams? To train those players for the majors. We should be using our high schools to train our students for good-paying career jobs, technical, and the city and other areas. As an example, I'll lay out three or four. One, we should have two, three, or four high schools dedicated for public safety. Teaching 9th to 12th graders how to become police officers, how to become firefighters, how to become EMT. In the 12th grade, when they graduate with 4 years of experience, they can become a firefighter or EMT. They have to become a police cadet at 18 and 19, and at 20, they become a police officer. But a cadet can do all those desk jobs that we're doing now with police officers so they can come off the desk jobs and go out into the field. It's something we should have done 5 years ago. We wouldn't be in this shortage today. It's something that should be done across the country. Take it a step further. Building trades, electricians, carpenters, steam fitters, plumbers, all those trades. We should partner with the building trades. And when I say the building trades, those that have worked in the building trades who are now retired. These people have tremendous institutional knowledge about these trades. Let's partner with them and help them teach our 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders to become electricians, to become carpenters. With one guarantee, when a student completes a four-year program, they're guaranteed a job in the union that is a good paying job. My point is, let's look at our high schools as the opportunity to train for all these different technical jobs, vocational, all these jobs. We should use high schools. L&I has a shortage of 200-300 people. We should have courses in our high schools to teach people how to work in the licensing and inspection in the city of Philadelphia.
Very true. Very true. Oh, Alan, that is unbelievably. You know what happened in America in our time? It's difficult to see because people from all over different countries came over. Merchandisers came and said, why should you work in America when we can do it for you and ship the product back ready to be put on your shelves and purchased by the American people? Now, a lot of people are concerned that this was not addressed by national leadership, state leadership, local leadership. Possibly Philadelphia can be the place
right.
to finally address this issue and get it out to the public, because We're losing everything. They ate our lunch a long time ago.
They did. You know, Michael, it's funny you mentioned that about things that are made overseas. My mother passed away in September of 2020. She was 91. God bless her. May she rest in peace. But maybe 2 years before she passed away, in like 2018 or 2019, she said to me she needed a pair of shoes. And she didn't live in Philadelphia. She lived in North Jersey. So she came to visit me, and I took her around to 7 different shoe stores. Now, this is a woman. My mom would only buy what was made in America. And if it wasn't made in America, she refused to buy it.
Wonderful.
We went to 7 shoe stores. We couldn't even find a pair of shoes.
Well, no, it got
and
to
she
the,
wouldn't buy any of them.
No, it's got to the point in America that people go to the stores, and through our radio broadcasts and our newspapers and all of the various programs that we work with, we try to tell people to look for the American-made label, go out of your way to speak up to the people at the stores, the managers, the cashiers. Everywhere I go, I tell people, look at the back of the cards, look at the back of the package to see where the cards and where the package, well, the items are made. And people say, I've never imagined. What happened over the years is we were so busy just living life that the product names were there, the brands were just moved overseas, and the next thing you know, here we are in the United States with a major loss of jobs, and look how many people in the United States are living in poverty. We have 42 million people living in poverty listed, of which about 22 million of them could be trained for full and part-time jobs and be able to be independent. Self-sufficiency
right.
is what it's all about.
So, Mike, I want to share with you some facts about what's going on in our country in Philadelphia. You know, Philadelphia, from 2009 to 2018, that 10-year period, 09 to 18, all jobs in the U.S. that were created that paid less than $35,000, which is like $20,000, $25,000, which are really low-wage jobs. In many cases, a family of four can't survive on $25,000.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was a portion of my interview with Alan Dom, who is a candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. And as I said, there are 8 people running. Everybody is listening to them, and I'm happy to have interviewed them and being at the various debates and all. And as we're going around, and we're also electing all city council members and various judges and all, but I want to compliment a few city council people who have been very helpful to the Buy American Made campaign in our radio broadcast, and they include City Councilman Mark Scula, Mike Driscoll from the Northeast Philadelphia area, and Catherine Gilmore Richardson, who's a councilwoman at large. She's number 75. Make sure you look at the candidates and see what they stand for when you go out to vote. And we appreciate, and I enjoy being involved in all these various programs. Mark, I want to go to you for a few minutes. How did you enjoy the interview with Alan Dom?
Yeah, point on, Mike. I love that he came from tough, tough times like my parents, and he's seen, I'm going to save my mayonnaise jars now. education is the key. I love that he gets it. You know, he just, wow. You know, you got some great candidates. You know, I want to remind the listeners, Mike, too, that it's Small Business Wednesday today. And we have a special on our MadeInAmericaStore.com website. If you punch in the coupon code SMALL2023, you get an extra 10% off. So I just want to remind you, it's Small Business Wednesday today, Mike.
And also make sure everybody go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on Mark's store, and you know that it's Small Business Wednesday. So, Mark, Alan Dom is another very qualified candidate, and I'm very glad that he and several others have been very interested in promoting our campaign, our broadcasts, and talking about getting the jobs back in our schools.
And Mike, you know, he had them early in childhood, the paper deliveries. And, you know, he's worked. You know, he's earned a dollar. He's got that can-do spirit. Nobody wants to hear them people that made in America, America, that can-do spirit, never quit attitude. And, you know, I see that in him. So it's excellent.
Very good. Larkin, how did you enjoy? You know Alan Dom.
I do know Alan, and he's a great guy. There's no question. Here's what I heard. I heard a gentleman who is absolutely an entrepreneur. He made things happen in his life, and what he has done has affected so many people in the city of Philadelphia. He's a brilliant candidate. I knew he was running. And if David decides not to run, which isn't going to happen, I like Alan. He knows that the business of Philadelphia is business.
And you know what I like about it? He's willing to go out and start this campaign with all of us working together to get this happening in other cities and states. It really takes the leadership of the top to really start promoting this. Bruce, how did you enjoy the interview with Alan Dom?
I enjoyed it very much. I think I share Larkin's view that Philadelphia needs strong leadership and needs organized leadership. I think Alan certainly described that to me. So, again, I don't live there, but I still have my heart in Philadelphia. It's where I first landed, and as I say, I lived there for over 20 years.
So, you know, Bruce and Mark and Larkin, it has really been a good campaign season. I've been out on many debates. I know most of the candidates very well. Some of them have our kind of ideas. Some are, you know, less vocal about it. But I am going to encourage everyone to go out and vote. If you live in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, go out and vote, because this is really what it's all about. Your vote really does count. I said to someone who told me, I don't know about my vote. I said, well, it's like either being able to speak or having laryngitis. It's one or the other. You go out and you speak with your vote. If you already mailed in your mail-in ballot, great. If you didn't, make sure it's in the mail or take it to your poll. They'll rip it up and they will put you through so you can vote live. But do vote this Tuesday, and next Wednesday, we'll have a report on who won. It could be any candidate. Your choice will be known on Wednesday of next week during our broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear, Henry is playing the music. That means it's time to say Dovizenia until we see each other in our travels, or Saturday here on 860, or next Wednesday at 11 here on 860. I want to wish you and yours the very best. Go out and vote. May God bless you, and may God bless America, and look for American Made.
Great. Have a great week, guys.